You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Tonight, folks, we've got an awful lot to talk about, and most of it, I hope you're going to think, as I do, that it's a little humorous, and then we're going to talk about a few things that are not humorous at all. In fact, you're going to find them a little chilling. Just a little warm-up music there for the first act in the center ring. Calling Carolyn Nelson, calling Carolyn Nelson. Carolyn Nelson, if you're out there, I want to hear from you. Now, I've sent you a letter with my phone number. If you're out there near a phone, I want you to call in to this program tonight so I can find out where you are. Folks, this woman is incredible. She started out in her home state, which I believe is Michigan, and I got a letter from her telling me that she listens to this show, The Hour of the Time, and that she was awake and that she wanted to help. She ordered some material from us, which we promptly, getting a little tongue-tied already, promptly sent off to her, and very soon after that, we got one of her letters returned saying that she had left, going somewhere. The rest, we never received at all. It was never returned to us. She turned up in Waco during the massacre there. She sent us a steady stream of letters with pages and pages of reports of what was happening, who was there, from her perspective. And this information was invaluable to us. In fact, we used her reports for at least two of the radio broadcasts about the Waco situation until I was able to get there myself, which I did. Then the next communication we received from Carolyn Nelson was from Port Isabel, Texas, where she managed to get the whole town off their feet looking for a copy of the Constitution of the United States of America. And nowhere could one be found until she found one in the office of the local newspaper editor, whom she tried to convince that he should run the whole Constitution as a full-page article in the newspaper. I don't know how that turned out, but Carolyn said that she had not received the materials that she had ordered while she was in Michigan, and then we lost track of her again. And she had ordered several things from Port Isabel, which we promptly sent off to her. Maybe I should use another word. We then began to hear from people in little towns across the state of Texas who said they had met the most incredible woman, who said that I could furnish them with information that might save their life at some future time, and wanted to know what she was talking about, although they had some vague idea They weren't quite really sure. Something about a new world order. And some people understood what she had warned them about and called to get an information packet and to ask questions and say that they had been onto this for many years and they thought that they were alone in the world until they met Carolyn. And eventually, we got a letter from Carolyn from Sholo, Arizona. She said she'd come to help but didn't know where I was. So we set out to find her, folks. And I'm telling you, for the last several days, we have been having quite a time. We have driven probably 500 miles in search of this woman. Everyone that we have met knows her, or knows of her, or have heard of her, including the police, including the Apache tribal police, including the president of the White Mountain Apaches, including a woman in a little store in Carrizo named Rosie. All of these people that we met trying to locate Carolyn Nelson said that they liked her. The Indians have spread the word throughout the tribes that she has come to help them, to save them from the New World Order. And we met one person, and this was confirmed in another letter from Carolyn Nelson, who said that there was a little girl, a teenage girl actually, in the Apache tribes, who has become a prophet and has prophesied that the Indians will lose their reservations. And all along, I met people who didn't know anything about what was happening until they met Carolyn Nelson. And this touches my heart, folks. I have tears in my eyes as I'm talking to you now because, you see, she's in her late 60s. She's alone. She is a woman. Now, I know a lot of women who would take that as an insult, but I'm talking to all of you out there who think women are incapable of doing anything. Carolyn is proving you wrong. All of you who say, I'm just one lonely, helpless little person. There's nothing I can do. She's putting you to shame. Carolyn, I do not want you to leave this state or this area until I can sit down and have a meal with you and talk to you personally. If I could give you the Congressional Medal of Honor, I would do that. Now, the phone is ringing. I'm going to answer it. If it's not Carolyn Nelson, I'm going to hang up because it's not time to take calls yet. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Carolyn.
Carolyn?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm very good.
Where are you?
In Carrizo.
You're in Carrizo?
Yes.
What did you send me in your last letter, Carolyn? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was recorded. We have the telephone number here on the caller ID that the phone company installed. And I have to turn this around here to get the number and write it down if you'll just wait for a couple of moments. This will be delivered to the police, to the county sheriff, and to the telephone company. And I will send a copy of this tape and this telephone number to the Federal Communications Commission and the Federal Bureau of Investigation, because, little child, you just broke the law. And you're going to have a visit from someone, I can guarantee you. And you had better not ever plant your feet in front of my face and identify yourself to me. If you do, you will be taking a great risk, I can assure you. Okay, let me read this letter here. Dear Bill and family, I am sending the two ID cards for safekeeping. These are press credentials, folks. I do not wish to resign from CAGI, but I'm facing the possibility of the hospital early in October, and I don't want to take the chance of them getting lost. I was told that prostate cancer was nearly a certainty. I didn't like what they were planning in the way of a cure. I've had more than 10 years, and they haven't been too bad. But the reason for the trip this time is to determine how far it has traveled. I still will refuse a Copenhagen quick change, but we will see. Take care, signed Phil. And on the back it says, please send me an updated list, which we have done, Phil. The reason for sending these two tapes is to show you how well propaganda that is official comes through. He sent me two tapes of a radio show, which is total propaganda aimed at the American people. If they really wanted us to listen and believe this stuff, they would try to interfere a little now and then. As a friend told me who came from Eastern Europe, we could always tell the worthwhile stuff by the amount of jamming. And as you know, this program gets more than its share, along with the little two-year-old fools, like the one that called just a few moments ago. Phil, I wish you the best of luck. We've talked many times on the phone, and you've corresponded faithfully with me. And if there's anything that I can do to make your hospitalization a little easier, please let me know. Another letter I'd like to read here. Oh, I want to finish with a little more of the Carolyn Nelson story. She sent us one letter, and she had made a little drawing of the campsite where she was by a river. And she put, I guess, what she thought was the name of this campsite, and we went looking for it. And as they say, we've driven about 500 miles in the last few days looking for Carolyn Nelson. And she leaves a trail of thankful, happy people behind her wherever she goes. We managed to find her campsite after approximately 2 hours and 10 minutes of driving, and found that the rains had washed down through the campsite, and we hoped that none of her belongings was damaged at all. But we could clearly see that she was forced to move, and so we set out again looking. We have no idea where she's going to turn up, but if any of you out there know where she is, please contact me immediately. I don't want this woman to get away from here without some kind of a proper reward for her efforts. And I want to encourage you all out there to please learn a lesson from what she is doing. She's retired. She lives on Social Security, and she has a little bit of money of her own, I understand, that she's saved through the years. She has an automobile that is about 10 or 11 years old. And she has made a determination that she is going to help wake as many people as she possibly can. She makes copies of tapes of this broadcast and gives them to people along the way. She has given people copies of my book. She has made up a little flyer and had it printed on her own with pertinent points that people should know and where they can get information to verify what's on her flyer. And it's just, it's incredible. This is heartwarming. This is something that everybody in America can do. And you don't have to set off on a trip like Carolyn. There are many thousands of people where you live that don't know anything about this. And within walking and driving distance, you could make that your project on weekends. Here's another letter. Dear Mr. Cooper, my name is Brian, and I'm not going to say his last name. My name is Brian. I'm a prisoner in Texas. Please excuse the quality of this ribbon as I save my new ribbons for publishable work and legal pleadings. I have been listening to your show from the very beginning, when, during the federal government's siege of Mount Carmel in Waco, and when I was placed in solitary confinement for a day, I returned my AM radio to best receive, I retuned my AM radio to best receive not only the AM band and Ron Engelman's updates on Dallas's KGBS 1190, which I should not be advertising because they fired Ron Engelman, but to receive shortwave. I was listening to you on WWCR before their transmitter burned. As an aside, and as you probably know, Ron was recently fired. He often mentioned your book on the air and was the leading mainstream media critic of the government during the siege. I used to edit and publish Grace Newsletter from here in prison, and John S. Terrell was a subscriber. A portion of his latest, The Dove, is enclosed, so you can see his comments regarding Waco, Bobo Gritz, John Coleman, America West, and the CIA. Feel free to contact Reverend Terrell for more info to further develop your contacts and listenership, and feel free to mention my name. Since the prison shut down, Grace, I have been involved in some 8 First Amendment lawsuits, but the courts are not on the Constitution's side. No surprise there. One of the main reasons I'm finally getting around to writing is to congratulate you on going live and to urge you to keep up the very good work. I have followed you through every little twist, every blessing, and every hardship, every broadcast and rebroadcast, every goof and every shattering newsmaker. Often you have been the news and not merely reported it. And I feel and think I know your mission and effectiveness almost better than you. I do have a B.S. in film, television from Oral Roberts. Graduation date was 77. M.A.'s in theology and humanities. Most of the coursework for a Ph.D. in history completed and several years professional experience as a freelance media writer, producer, and with AT&T. If you are interested, I would enjoy submitting a couple of radio scripts for your consideration. You might be interested to know that Grace was often pirated by a couple of religious last days types broadcasters, so I know my work is good and usable. Let me know if you are interested. Brian, I am interested. Please send me a script so that I can look at it, and I'll let you know if we're going to use it. And if we do, we'll let you know when. I don't really like other people to write my scripts, but I'm certainly open to seeing what you have to offer. And if it's really good, then we'll go from there. Now, I'm still really thinking about Carolyn Nelson, and I'm really, really quite tickled by our trips and everything to try to find her, and that's really why I played the circus thing at the beginning, because it's turned into a hide and seek. She's almost become a ghost. Here's something that you need to understand, folks. Our military is being reorganized, and their mission is being redefined. The new definition is to function toward the goals of the New World Order. Now, why aren't our military active and retired professionals, officer corps, enlisted men, non-commissioned officers, petty officers, why aren't they speaking out against this radical conversion of the very purpose of having a military force? Could it be that they're for this? I don't know the answer to that. I do know that one world government, as an answer to war, is taught in all the military academies and in the Naval War College and the Army War College. And I know that many, many high-ranking officers have made statements on television and in writings, and we have a huge report from the Naval War College outlining the future role of the United States Navy in the New World Order. And on the front page of this report, which is several inches thick, is the seal of the United States Navy and the seal of FEMA. So, if you're still wondering if I'm nuts when I tell you this stuff, I'm not. We're looking for an inexpensive method to get this printed up so that we can offer it to all of you out there so that you can read it. And some of the other things, if we can find a printer that's low enough, we think we may have found one in Albuquerque, then we will begin printing it up and making it available as inexpensive as we possibly can. Let me just check and see if this is Carolyn or if it's the little children again. Hello, you're on the air. It's not Carolyn. Okay. Now, remember, I just read the letter from the man in prison who used to publish a newsletter called Grace. and he sent me a copy of his friend's newsletter called The Dove. And I want to read you an excerpt from this newsletter because I think it's pertinent. I've been warning you about Trojan horses, and I've been admonishing you to weed out the Freemasons who are leading the Patriot movements, because they are Trojan horses. But in The Dove, there are some very interesting revelations. True. Says the John Birch Society, the deception in our world today is almost total, and it is very difficult to know if a person or an organization is genuine. Oops, now I lost the page. Is genuine. Here we go. Or false. To the sorrow of many American patriots, we must again report that Robert Welch was a 33rd degree Freemason, and the teaching in the Blue Book is based largely on the writings of Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma. The society was formed for several reasons. One was to find out the names and addresses of true American patriots, second, to feed them truth mixed with disinformation, and third, to keep them busy while the nation is destroyed. For documentation of this, contact Dr. Gordon Ginn, G-I-N-N, Post Office Box 541, Fortuna, California, 95540. James Braddock is writing an expose on the Birch Society, and in his research he found something very strange. Six of the conservative newsletters in the United States suddenly had relocated their mailing addresses to Phoenix, Arizona. Look at this lineup. World News Digest, Post Office Box 84900, Phoenix, 85071. World News Digest, Post Office Box 84902, Phoenix, 85071. Larry Abraham, Post Office Box 84903, Phoenix, 85071. Don McElvaney, Post Office Box 84904, Phoenix, 85071. Aidens, Post Office Box 84905, Phoenix, 85071. Gary North, Post Office Box 84906, Phoenix, 85071. Larry Bates, Post Office Box 84909, Phoenix, 85071. These newsletters have been published for some time, and they have been located all over the United States. Then one by one, they began using Phoenix post office boxes, forming a continuous pattern of numerically sequential numbers on their post office boxes. Each of these newsletters is recommended by the leadership of the John Birch Society. Each of these newsletters is in competition with one another, yet there seems to be a central power controlling all of them. But if these newsletters are uniquely funneled from the same basic source to ensure that nothing comes forward which would not be in accordance with a master plan, that would explain the centralization. Does it have any bearing that Don McElvaney is a former CIA employee? Does it mean anything that Larry Abraham used to be a John Bircher area director and coordinator in the states of Washington and Alaska from 1964 to 1972? In 1982, the state of Washington revoked Abraham's license from the Securities Division. Later, he formed Freedom Incorporated, which subsequently went out of business. Sometime after he declared personal bankruptcy, listing his liabilities at a figure of almost $1.2 million and assets less than $5,000. Well, let's see if this phone call is Carolyn. You're on the air.
Hello?
It's not Carolyn. Okay, folks. Says there's one more thing these six newsletters have in common is that they never mention any activities of any Jewish organizations, whatever that means. And we know that the ADL should be mentioned by everybody. Also, we found out, folks, well, let me see here. We have a report that's been absolutely confirmed that there are Russian helicopters, transport helicopters, and the very large Hind gunships at Fort Polk, Louisiana. Now, this is absolutely confirmed. It is not a guess. How do we know this? Because KPLC Television of Lake Charles, Louisiana, had a show, and they zoomed in and showed these helicopters with the great big red star on their side. And if you've ever seen a Hind gunship, there is no mistaking it, ladies and gentlemen, and it is on videotape. A general who was interviewed during that news broadcast said that, or he insinuated that more Russian units were coming, and he said that their mission was to perform any duty anywhere. Figure that out. I think we're in big trouble, ladies and gentlemen. I think we are in big trouble. And I think we'd better wake up and start doing something about it really, really quick. Also, in this same newsletter, The Dove, mysterious black helicopter stalking nation. Okay? Now, Bobo Grits, listen to this. By Harry B. Martin, reprinted with permission of the Napa Sentinel. Editor's note, during the summer months, the Napa Sentinel published a series of articles on black helicopters and a clandestine government base operating in Napa County. Through nationwide radio programs and other contacts, the Sentinel has been able to accumulate substantial information to show that Napa was not exclusive in the helicopter clandestine base scenario. Such activities have been reported all across the United States. This article concerns those other sightings. They are black, unmarked, and generally fly late at night. This is one type of helicopter traffic reported over Napa this year, regular and steady. Local air commanders have never confirmed the origins of these helicopters. The local media, despite receiving reports of such activities themselves, have attempted to make a farce out of the numerous reports. The Napa Valley Register attempted to poo-poo the reports as from crashed UFO followers and used a Pac Bell repeating station photograph to discredit any clandestine base. KVON Radio, which originally confirmed the helicopter flights, just recently qualified their previous reports by stating, if such helicopters existed. Neither media has made any serious attempt to trace the origins or pattern of the helicopter traffic. The Napa Sentinel reported the flight patterns, interviewed eyewitnesses, talked to military and intelligence sources, and provided a scenario for the entire phenomenon. Since that period of time, however, reports have surfaced across the country. Black helicopters overhead, unmarked, and a few ground sightings. The occupants of the helicopters have been described as men wearing black uniforms carrying automatic weapons. The helicopters appear almost unreachable. In the Watsonville area, one such helicopter landed. Law enforcement officials went to investigate but left the scene when encountering armed men in black uniforms. Quote, we had black helicopters come over here every day, unquote, states several Massachusetts families. Quote, they were just plain with no markings, unquote. A Paris, Texas-based group, quote, these mystery helicopters are almost always without identifying markings. The aircraft are frequently reported flying at abnormal, unsafe, or illegal altitudes. They may shy away if witnesses or law officers try to approach. But there are several accounts of aggressive behavior on the part of the helicopter occupants, unquote. These type of helicopters have also been reported over Loring, Maine, Wurtsmith, Michigan, and Malmstrom, Montana, as well as northeastern New Mexico. Military officials in Colorado state that black helicopters seen in their area do not belong to the military. When the FAA was asked to investigate black helicopter traffic over New Mexico, Freedom of Information Act requests show they had no investigation on file. Yet the FAA did have investigators in the field taking depositions from individuals. Thomas Adams of Texas has spent a lot more time investigating the black helicopter mystery than the Sentinel has. He has listed hundreds of sightings from all over the country. In fact, the Napa Sentinel is not the only media to be investigating black helicopter traffic. Major TV and print media in Colorado, the Los Angeles Times, KLTV TV in Tyler, Texas, the Kilgore News Herald in Texas, the Denver Post, the reports go on and on and on in Colorado, Texas, Nebraska, Wyoming, Montana, Oklahoma, Kansas, Illinois, South Dakota, Arkansas, Alberta, Wisconsin, Berkeley, California, Missouri, Arizona, Minnesota, Atlanta, Georgia. Law enforcement officials in various states have also investigated the black helicopter traffic. And we'll get back to that, folks, in just a second. Night before last, you heard Gene Miller on this program giving you an awful lot of good information, explanations, definitions, and some real good advice. I know that some of you called. I know that a lot of you haven't, because it is the nature of man to procrastinate. It is the nature of man to sit back and wait for something to happen so that he doesn't have to do anything. Well, folks, in what's coming, as I believe you should be able to hear if you have ears, and if you have eyes and you can see, then you know we're in big trouble. And if you don't do something about protecting what you have now, pretty soon it's going to be too late. And the longer you wait, the less value you're going to have in your assets anyway, if you understand that the dollar is consistently losing its value and that we are in creeping inflation. And Alan Greenspan recently warned that they could not hold back rampant inflation any longer. Now, that's the man who controls the money supply. And if you understand inflation, he's the one who will make it happen if it happens at all. And it will not be for any of the stated reasons that you will be given. So, you have a responsibility to yourself and to your family. And if you care about this program, you need to back our sponsors anyway. If you're going to do business, do it with them. If you don't want to do it with them, at least do it with somebody. And remember, Gene Miller told you that. How many people do you know that are trying to tell you something that would tell you, hey, you don't have to come to us, but do something with somebody, because we're facing a very bleak future economically. So call Gene Miller at 1-800-289-2646 and do it right now. 1-800-289-2646. Folks, by helping to protect your future, you're also protecting the future of this program, The Hour of the Time, and of course, freedom for the world. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. You'll be glad that you did. The bulk of helicopter traffic is seen throughout the United States from August through October, with some heavy activity in February, July, November, and December. Reports have been received from Monterey and Southern California as well. Colorado appears to have the heaviest concentration of black helicopter traffic, with Texas being second. Communities and publications in these areas confirm or suggest the existence of underground facilities serviced by helicopters. And remember, folks, I've talked about underground facilities before, and I think it's about time we start paying attention to this stuff and stop listening to the Trojan horses who tell you, oh, don't worry about that. There's no black helicopters. The Army has helicopters that look like black helicopters, and besides, they don't have to be marked anyway. That's a lie. The law says they must be marked and they are not allowed to fly below 500 feet unless they are in a bona fide military exercise area. And these helicopters are violating every law that there is. Communities and publications in these areas confirm or suggest the existence of underground facilities serviced by helicopters. The small amount of published evidence that is available indicates that the great majority of these underground bases are for use by government agencies in the event of nuclear war, states one publication. If you read my book, you'll find the real reason for these underground facilities. The real reason. And we have located at least 100 of them throughout the United States. And they have nothing to do with nuclear war. The agencies associated with these underground facilities include the Pentagon, CIA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, and the National Security Agency. In May 1992, revelations came to the surface that a large secret government bunker was located under the Rich Greenbrier Hotel in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. It had been hidden there for years. Only 6 members of Congress knew about the living quarters, meeting rooms, and banks of computers and communications equipment installed underneath the posh hotel. It contains 2 giant blast doors, each weighing more than 20 tons, supplied with water, electricity, and even a sewage treatment system. It also had an infirmary, shower facilities, a television studio, radio and communications equipment, phone booths and code machines, a dining and kitchen area, a power plant, and even a crematorium for disposing of the corpses of those who might die inside the sealed bunker. FEMA also operates a number of underground bunkers across the country. Such installations are usually surrounded by high fences and patrolled by armed guards. Only a few of the buildings appear above ground. At least 96 underground centers have been secretly funded by the United States government. All that's outlined in my book, folks, including the source of the funding and the hands through which it has been funneled. Chicago-based source with high credentials in such investigations claims that the black helicopters are not a military operation, but rather are operated by the Wackenhut Corporation and FEMA. We don't know that. I can't confirm that. We do know, though, that these helicopters have more to do with the New World Order than the United States government. Wackenhut is a private company that provides security in prisons, hospitals, government installations, and other facilities. It was founded by former FBI agents and has been called the modern RoboCop organization. FEMA has broad emergency powers. It was created by President Jimmy Carter and has the ability to virtually take over the country or any region in a disaster. With FEMA and the private Wackenhut Army teamed together, neither are regulated by too many outside authorities. Though the helicopter traffic over Napa eased after the series of media articles and broadcasts, they have reappeared again. In one eyewitness incident, at least 4 of the helicopters focused for hours near Oakville Grade. While Napa is in its infancy in investigating black helicopters and some of the local media acting in infantile ways about the subject, the mysterious black helicopters are a well-talked-about and well-written-about phenomena in many other western states. Editor's note, low-flying black and dark green helicopters have been reported around Mariposa for over a year. If you see low-flying, unmarked helicopters, please report it to either the guide or the sheriff's department. So, we are not dreaming, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard independent verification from me, from Linda Thompson, from the Napa Valley Sentinel, from the Dove. And now we're going to take phone calls, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to hear only from people who can give me eyewitness reports of black helicopters unmarked in their area. And I want you to hold your phone call really brief, real short. Tell us what you saw, when you saw it. Remember, real brief, to the point, factual, must be eyewitness. Don't call me and tell me that your neighbor told you that he saw it. I don't want to hear that, okay? I want to hear eyewitness only. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. I couldn't believe it myself. I didn't doubt that, you know, these helicopters were around, but I never thought I'd see one in my area. I've been slowly telling a good friend of mine about your show and about what's going on, and, you know, when people that know nothing about this first hear it, they're kind of shocked, to say the least. But last Sunday on the 29th of August, on a Sunday at just before 1:30 in the afternoon in Tyngsborough, Massachusetts, I saw one of these helicopters. And it was like it looked like it was in someone's backyard, and it was very low.
Beneath 500 feet?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much for your report. Phone lines open. The number is 602-333-2174. That's 602-333-2174. I only want to hear from eyewitnesses who have seen and can report black helicopter activity. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper?
Yes.
This is John from Michigan.
Hello, John.
I live north end of Lake Fenton. And last summer I had 9 Hueys, 2 AH-64 Apaches, and this hasn't been reported before, but an A-10 Warthog, all black. And the Apaches were hovering over my house. This was on 2 occasions. It may have been the same bird, I can't tell you because there's no numbers. But everybody's been talking just about helicopters, but the thing that I think is important is that the fixed-wing air assets have also been dedicated to the situation, and that's A-10 Warthog. It loggered from a west to east aspected flight pattern, and it was relatively slow. It looked to me like it may have, I'm not sure about its performance capabilities, but it may have been near stall speed. And I just thought I'd like to tell you that.
Thank you very much. Phone lines open, number 602-333-2174. I want to get as many calls in as possible from actual witnesses. I don't want to hear it secondhand. I don't want to hear hearsay. I don't want to hear that you heard it from your third cousin's uncle. I got a call today from a man who told me that there were 50 Russian helicopters at Fort Polk, Louisiana. When I checked it out, nobody knows how many they're there, but we have confirmed on videotape from a television news broadcast and from eyewitnesses that there are Russian helicopters at Fort Polk, Louisiana. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. My wife was coming home from her graveyard job in downtown Atlanta, and it was almost a year ago. Coming down Peachtree Avenue, it was like Apocalypse Now. They paused right down Peachtree Avenue.
That's when I was there, and I can also verify it. I have seen them go down Peachtree Avenue and all over Atlanta, Georgia, approximately that same time frame, 1 year ago. Thank you for your call. Number 602-333-2174. Eyewitness accounts only, please, folks. Don't tell me what somebody else saw. I want to hear what you saw. Black helicopter, eyewitness accounts only. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to say very briefly that about 2 months ago, going down 95 between...
Could you make sure the phone is directly in front of your mouth and talk louder, please?
Charleston, South Carolina.
Thank you.
This is between Charleston and Jacksonville, Florida, going through Georgia. And it was flying literally at treetop level with two guns, one on either side. It was a long helicopter. It was one that you would see in combat, and it was flying just over the treetops. It went right over our head. It made a big, wide, circular motion and came back around from the direction that it had come from before. I was taking a vacation with my wife and daughter. And it was the only reason I was even aware of it because of the material that had come to my house called Operation Vampire Killer 2000, which made me aware of the fact that these things were even flying around and needed to be aware if I saw them. And so that's the location.
Okay, thank you very much for your report. I want to thank all of you who are calling in, but I'm going to get your report and then cut you off real quick because I want to try to get as many in as possible to prove to all these Trojan horses who are trying to get you not to pay attention to this that they are lying to the American public. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
Around Fort Texas near Corpus Christi, where we have the Corpus Christi Army Depot that repairs helicopters. I wondered if you were aware of the facility in Fremont now, the new Southern Command headquarters, which has a lot of activity here, and the air base in San Antonio.
No.
Well, there's a lot of sightings down here. I've had enough information, I guess, that Valentine thought it was worth working on flying, but I didn't want to get involved with man. But we've visited last 4th of July, me and my kids, at an air show in Rockport, Texas, a black helicopter on display. Hueys, Apollo, Scorpions, A-teams, previously mentioned Vance and Heavy Lift Sikorskys, painted that very, very dark green and black trim, not to mention a sunburst red with a yellow rising sun on the front to patrol the intercoastal waterway.
That is the New World Order, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, the god of mystery Babylon is the bright and morning star, the rising sun, the light Lucifer. Thank you very much for your call. That was illuminating, to say the least. The number is 602-333-2174. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Up here in Vermont, I wanted to say in early July, at nighttime, coming from west to east and doing a hairpin kind of turn, probably 500 feet high, one of those black helicopters with a molded belly that had rows of bright white and red lights did a stall turn in the sky and illuminated the area below where I live.
That sounds like a typical UFO sighting, doesn't it?
Well, it wasn't. It was a helicopter. It was a noisy, big helicopter with rows of bright white lights, and it...
That was my point.
Yeah. It made one pass, went back and over again, and moved out at a fast speed and was very low, but like I say, probably 500 feet. So that's what I saw, and then in the daytime I saw a maroon and off white one that...
Those are harmless.
It's the same pattern, and it had a double tail rotor and a stabilizing blade across the two.
That sounds like a civilian helicopter. Thank you for your call. Number 602-333-2174. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Hello, fine.
Yes, my name is Bill, and I'm calling from New Jersey. I witnessed a black helicopter around July 20th. I wrote it down. But I worked for Belcorp down in Piscataway, in central New Jersey, and it was flying about, maybe about 300 feet, and it was 11:30 in the morning. At first, the thing made such a loud noise, I didn't know what it was. I could hear the thing coming, like, miles away, and I looked up, and it flew southeast, as if it was going maybe like from Newark, maybe down to McGuire or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely did see one in central New Jersey.
Okay, thank you very much for your report. The number is 602-333-2174. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, I've seen something, I guess, or seen or heard something in, I guess, the last 3 or 4 months. And that's got to be that you've got to be some kind of off your nut or something. You don't show any type of specific information whatsoever that's related clearly to what or where this comes from.
We don't know. That's what we're trying to find out.
Well,
but people are telling us that nobody is seeing these helicopters and that they don't exist. The purpose of tonight's program is to prove that they do exist, and we will find out where they come from. We do know who some of them belong to, and if you had listened to a show that we did last week, we named where many of them come from.
Yes, certainly I understand your plight and what you're trying to prove. However, I still claim that until I would like to believe what you say, but
I don't want you to believe what I say.
But I don't I don't see anything specific. You know, I hear a bunch of people as truck drivers or what have you, or somebody that can't remember when or where they were.
Well, I tell you what, you get me some doctors and some lawyers and some congressmen to call. The line is open, 602-333-2174. We got to take the witnesses that we get. Folks, I don't go out and hand-pick people. You're on the air. You're on the air. Good night. The line is open, folks. 602-333-2174. What we need are people who are eyewitnesses to black helicopter activity. The purpose of this show tonight is just to prove that they exist, that it is not a figment of anybody's imagination, that they are really out there, and that many, many people across this country have seen them. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill. I'm calling from Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Yes.
And I spotted one of these things flying midweek. It was approximately at the cloud ceiling level, flying from north to south, and kind of like in a straight line. That's it.
Now, that's in Lake Charles, Louisiana. This is around where the Russian helicopters are at Fort Polk.
Near Fort Polk, that is right.
Did you see any of the Russian helicopters?
I haven't, Bill. I have, in fact, I just started hearing about the black helicopters, and one day at work, I just looked up. I saw this thing right over my head, like I said, and It was black. The light was good. There was a bright, sunny day. And I said, wow, there's one.
Okay. Thank you very much for your report. Sure. We've also had reports from all over the country and actual photographs of large Soviet, or what used to be Soviet, I guess they're Russian aircraft, large transport aircraft, landing on airfields all over this country, including civilian airports. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Houston, Texas. About a week ago, 5:30 in the afternoon, rush traffic. Two units flying west from downtown Houston right over I-10, about 500-foot elevation.
Thank you very much. Line is open, 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
I'm calling from Shamokin, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Could you talk a little louder, please?
I'm calling from Shamokin, Pennsylvania.
That's good.
And since about April or May, I've seen about five times of these incidents. As a matter of fact, my brother's even seen a helicopter going over with the missile launchers on the site, too.
And these are unmarked?
Unmarked helicopters going down through the valley. This is like a coal mining town.
Flying low?
Yes, very low.
Below 500 feet?
Below, I'd say about 100 feet.
Thank you very much for your report. Folks, you see, all of these things that these helicopters are doing are illegal. Illegal. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air.
On the air?
Turn your radio off.
Okay. The radio is off.
Okay. You're on the air.
Can I talk to the gentleman and we'll get the program?
You're talking to him right now. The whole world is listening to you.
All right. Listen, I want to report black helicopter.
Okay.
I saw the other day.
Where at?
Raynham, Massachusetts.
Okay.
I was out raking my lawn and this helicopter came over and I heard the sound very low. And I looked up and I've been listening to your program for a few weeks now.
Uh-huh.
And I looked up and I said, I'll be a son of a bitch. There it was. No identification, no nothing.
What was the altitude?
Oh, I would estimate, being an ex-Air Force pilot, I would estimate the thing was about 500 feet, maybe less.
Thank you very much for your report. Line is open, 602-333-2174. Good evening, you're on the air.
Eden Prairie, Minnesota. We've had a Hueys all summer long and some Apaches that are armed flying in out of the airport, some at 500 feet plus, and one hovering over my house after I complained to the FBI about some drug dealers.
They came and hovered over your house, huh?
Pictures, too.
I wonder who the drug dealers really were in a case like that.
Corporation.
Pardon?
I'll send you the information if you're interested. Thank you.
Yes, I am. Thank you very much for your report. Folks, any of you out there who have information, you can either fax it to me at this same number for the rest of the other 23 hours of the day, or you can send it to William Cooper, P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona, 85901. That's William Cooper, Sholo, Arizona, 85901, and the post office box is 1420. And I'll repeat that a little bit later. Good evening. You're on the air.
Now, Bill Cooper, this is Jim from Michigan.
Hi, Jim.
Yeah, I'm a non-veteran. I'm real acquainted with choppers. The other night, I was out and live up here by National Guard Base, and I'm kind of keep an eye on the choppers flying in the area.
Uh-huh.
And the other night, around 10:30, I saw three of them flying below tree level. I got my spotting scope out and I checked them out. And I didn't see any markings at all.
What did you see?
Saw there were UEs. And they were flying low. No lights. You know how they usually got navigation lights on the bottom?
Yeah.
These were all blacked out, no lights. Saw a door gunner, which is not unusual. But, no attack marks or aviation marks of any type to identify a unit.
You're an old helicopter man. Why would helicopters be flying over American cities and American homes and American areas with guns armed and sticking out and pointing down at the ground below 500 feet unmarked?
Absolutely. They're way below minimums for airspace, for safety, around populated areas.
Uh-huh.
A lot of jet activity, a lot of them choppers, what people aren't seeing. And every around here, it's common talk because they see them all the time. But it's very unusual to see ones that are black like that with no attack marks, so you can't identify them.
I understand. Thank you for your report. Line is open, 602-333-2174. Now, folks, if you send me information, any information that you ever send me, I have to know the source. If it's a newspaper, when you clip it out of the newspaper, make sure that you do not clip off the masthead or the name of the newspaper and the date at the top. That's important. It's got to be on the article that you send me. Don't send me second or third hand reports because I have to be able to prove this. If you send a second or third hand report, send me a telephone number that I can call to talk to somebody who saw it firsthand. That's very important. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello, Bill. I have a report for you from Central California.
Okay.
Around sunset, around 3 weeks ago, near Morro Bay, California, there was three helicopters flying in low formation, heading up towards the Monterey area, which you said was a hot spot.
What color were they?
Dark green and totally unmarked.
Okay.
Flying dead slow at about 150 feet above the water, following the coastline.
Thank you very much for your report.
You're welcome.
Line's open, 602-333-2174. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
I live in north central Louisiana, and I see coppers every week. They're flying up on the Ouachita River. I work in the backwoods, and like I say, every week I see or hear them. They are dark green, and they fly just about treetop level. And also, a few weeks ago, we had state troopers in that area training in the woods and gear for some kind of assault training, I guess. I don't know exactly what kind of training, but they were a lot of troopers up there doing something.
What were they wearing?
When I saw them, they were going in. They were just in their clothes, their regular clothes in the cars. But the federal wildlife management officer there said they were training in gear, so I didn't see the gear.
Okay. Thank you very much for your report.
Thank you.
602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello? Hi, Bill.
Yes.
This is Mark from Alhambra, California.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to report there's a lot of black helicopters flying from east to west and west to east every day between 12 and 1. And I see this every single day flying parallel along the San Gabriel Mountains.
Are they black?
Yes, they're black. They're really small, kind of like a Hughes 500.
Uh-huh.
And they have like a black, between the blades and the top of the helicopter, there's like a black cover.
Okay, I know what that is. So do a lot of other people out there listening.
And
thank
yesterday
you.
I saw Huey flying right over my house at about, you know, let's say about 350 feet.
Uh-huh.
With the side doors open, and this was all black too.
Did you see any weapons?
No, I couldn't see any.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Bye.
602-333-2174 is the number. The rest of the 23 hours in the day, it is our fax number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening. How are you?
Just fine.
Speaking with Bill Cooper?
Yes, you are.
Great. This is Jack in California, and I'm up around the Mono County area right now. But about 5 days ago, on the 28th or 27th of August, at 8:30 in the morning, right over Altadena, California, there was a fleet of helicopters extremely similar to what the last caller was just saying. It was seven in a Delta V formation, small, all black, viewed it with binoculars. They had that little dome on top, just like you said,
mm-hmm.
little cowling of some sort, and they were heading east. And it seems like I can't understand. They were porting guns.
What elevation?
Oh, 400 feet.
400 feet, okay. That's...
There were, all ships had armaments on them, apparently some like little rocket launchers on one side and large automatic weapons out the windows, out the ports.
Uh-huh.
And that was about...
Altadena is a city, isn't it?
Yes, Altadena, right next to Pasadena, home of the Rose Bowl.
Now, what kind of a nut would fly at 400 feet over a city?
I know the Jet Propulsion Laboratory is in the area, and there seems to be a high degree of black helicopters anywhere between Sierra Madre. Leisha Davidson has the problem all the time, and I have even been near Sierra Madre, which is only 4 miles away, and I have seen the singular helicopter hovering over her area. I must have been a mile away on a hilltop just sitting there observing.
Mm-hmm.
I spotted that one day there, too. That was about 3 or 4 months ago.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Bill.
And the line is open. Well, folks, we got to cut it off. I'm sorry. Good night, and God bless you all. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello, Mr. Cooper?
Yes?
Yes, I'm calling you from Palmer, Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.